Jackets, free minds, free people. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Today we are going to be talking about liquor store privatization in Pennsylvania with Tom Wark. Tom is the executive director of the American Wine Consumer Coalition. Well, Tom, I'd just like you to introduce yourself and what you and the coalition do, and then Katrina Anderson, our senior policy analyst and director of government affairs, is going to guide the conversation as we talk about Pennsylvania's archaic system and also what we can do to change what other states are doing that Pennsylvania would do well to copy.
Sure. Well, I guess I should start by saying that I've been involved in sort of wine politics for almost 20 years now. And one of the things I've learned is this, that whenever lawmakers or regulators get together to talk about issues that impact consumer choice, wine consumers' choice, they never consult the consumer. They consult the trade, they consult lawmakers, they consult other lawmakers, but they don't consult the consumer, the folks who are going to be impacted. And so myself and a few other people decided that it was time to give wine consumers a voice so that there was somebody at least to invite to the table. So a couple months ago, we started the American Wine Consumer Coalition. It was in the planning for almost 2 years, and we're very happy now to say that we have a member-supported organization that's looking to change laws concerning consumer access to wine and convenience in accessing wine across the country.
What kind of members do you have? I mean, who would you say are really representing the group?
The vast majority of people who are members of the AWCC have a fairly strong interest in wine. They're concerned with being able to access the kind of wines that they want that might not necessarily be easy to access. What's happened over the last 20 years is there's been an explosion of interest in wine in the United States. At the same time, there's been an explosion in the number of wines that are available in the American marketplace. But because of the variety of different archaic regulatory structures in the different states, the laws haven't caught up with the economic reality. So we have a number of different states that make it very, very difficult for wine lovers to get their hands on the wines they want.
That's come across in the new report you just released. Which is one thing we wanted to talk about. You really did a grading of all the states looking at how they handle wine for consumers. Maybe you can talk about that and how Pennsylvania ranked.
Pennsylvania ranked near the very, very bottom for any number of different reasons. But very quickly, what we did was we did a poll of 1,000 wine consumers, and we asked them, what issues are most important to you? And their response was, wine in grocery stores, that's important to us. Making sure the state doesn't have any interest in the sale of wine. Making sure I can have wine shipped to me from out of state, be it from a winery or an out-of-state retailer. They had an interest in being able to buy wine on Sunday. There's a number of states where you can't walk in and buy wine on Sunday because people don't want them to. And a couple other issues. So we looked at all these issues that wine lovers are interested in, and then we started to go down the line and look how the different states respond to these issues. And we calculated all that information, and we gave each state a grade based on how they, based on their the consumer friendliness of their wine laws. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania got an F. Pennsylvania is one of only two or three states in the country, for example, where the state is the retailer of wine. And that's a problem for consumers because there's no competition in the Pennsylvania market, which means the variety of products they're going to have available, the price of the products that are available, are completely at the whim of the state. You don't have that free trade aspect that pushes different vendors to do different things, to make different products available. All you have is a bureaucracy saying, these are the wines you can have, and these are the wines you can buy, and if you don't like it, leave.
And that's what we've seen in Pennsylvania, just a lot of bureaucratic boondoggles. And I think the importance of what you're saying is they want real convenience, because what we've seen in Pennsylvania, and you might be aware, if we had these wine kiosks where they tried to provide convenience by putting these kiosks in grocery stores where you had to go and show your ID and blow through a little tube.
Right.
And that's not real convenience that, you know, consumers are asking for.
No, it's not the kind of convenience they're asking for. What consumers are asking for is to be able to go into a grocery store, buy those chicken thighs that they're going to fry up for dinner, and then walk over to the wine section and look at a nice selection of wine, be able to pick it up, put it in their cart, pay for it, and leave. Pennsylvania did try to install these really interesting looking kiosks, and you're right, people were blowing into them and they didn't work and they broke down, and it struck me as the last ditch effort to try some way to be convenient for consumers, knowing that there was a growing movement to privatize the state sales in Pennsylvania.
So what are the maybe top three things Pennsylvania would change in your mind to really meet the consumer needs of wine? And then if there are areas Pennsylvania's gotten right, highlight those as well.
Well, first of all, Pennsylvania needs to do three things in order to allow its consumers to access wine in a convenient way. Number one, the state has to get out of the way. They've got to let private industry do the retailing of wine. That's going to be a big political effort, but as we all know, that effort is underway, and hopefully this fall we'll see some movement on privatization and getting the state out of dictating what wines are available in the state. That's the number one thing that Pennsylvania can do. Number two is passing legislation that will allow Pennsylvanians to order wine from outside the state, be it from an out-of-state winery or an out-of-state retailer. And being able to order from both those kinds of entities are important. If you have access to out-of-state wineries, then you have access to nearly every domestic wine that's produced. If you found it on a trip somewhere or you visited the winery or whatnot, you can call the winery or go on their website and order it. But it's also important that they be able to buy from out-of-state retailers. And here's why. In America, it's only wine stores that sell imported wines, French, German, Italian, Austrian, Australian, et cetera, et cetera. So if you don't give consumers access to the wines from out-of-state wine stores, then they can't buy imported wines. Legislation has passed the House. It's HB 121. And we're hoping that this fall, when the legislature comes back, the Senate will consider HB 121 and finally give Pennsylvanians the ability to buy wine from both out-of-state wineries and out-of-state retailers.
That you want to see on the legislation to allow them to buy the alcohol from out-of-state businesses, not just wineries, correct?
That's correct. And right now, what we need to try to do is have HB 121 amended so that it would also allow consumers to buy from out-of-state retailers. The way it's currently written, they would only be able to buy from out-of-state wineries, thereby essentially banning the shipment of all imported wine. So we're working on that to try to get that legislation changed. But in terms of what Pennsylvania does do right, it does. You can bring your own bottle of wine into a restaurant, what some people call corkage fees or BYOB, and that's a good thing. Consumers ought to be able to bring their own wine into a restaurant. And you can buy wine on Sunday. Unfortunately, you have to go into a state store, but that's good too. Unfortunately, though, those were the only things that Pennsylvania got right. Everything else they got wrong, and they're ranked, I think it's number 49 or 48 out of 51. So.
And our official letter grade, what did we get?
You got an F.
An F.
F.
Well, and I think those are really good points too, especially when people want the selection that they're looking for. I mean, right now in Pennsylvania, if you cross the border to go get that wine that you can't get here and you bring it back into the state, you're actually breaking the law. And so we certainly don't want our residents to be bootleggers, you know, crossing the border. But we see that that's important. They want the convenience, the selection, the prices that are found in other states.
Yeah,
I noticed, you know, one of the things you guys are looking at is the level of government control. Have you found correlations between the level of government control on wine and the consumer friendliness?
There, again, I think there are only two states where the government actually controls the retail sale of wine. That's in Pennsylvania and that's in Utah. Pennsylvania got an F and Utah got an F. I think Utah was actually number 51 out of 51 states in the District of Columbia. And Pennsylvania, also having state control, was down near 48 or 49. Just about every other state in the country provides better convenience and better access to wine than Pennsylvania and Utah. I think there's a correlation between that. I know there's a correlation. I did the study. So there's no question about it.
And if people want to get more involved with your organization, since you are a consumer organization, how would they do that?
That's the simple one. You go to wineconsumers.org, you click the join button, and it costs $35 a year to become a member, and you become part of this coalition that's giving consumers a voice. But at the same time, we've got a lot of very, very cool consumer benefits for wine lovers. For example, everyone who joins gets a subscription to the Connoisseur's Guide to California Wine, which is one of the oldest, most venerable wine publications in America. It usually goes for $90. And in addition to that, there's discounts on wine, on wine storage, on wine education, wine vacations, other wine periodicals. But most importantly, you're sort of helping drive this coalition forward so that we can make a difference and sort of take a seat at the table.
Well, and we appreciate you highlighting it just because, I mean, here in Pennsylvania, we really see the need, not only for the consumers, but also for the wineries. I mean, when you have a government monopoly, you have abuse. And so we've seen where government monopoly is actually competing with our Pennsylvania wineries, and they don't have that same ability to get their products out. It's very hard in PA to get your winery on the state shelves. So to really open up that market and even help our Pennsylvania wineries, consumers, is a big win in Pennsylvania.
Well, hopefully it'll go well in the fall. I mean, all those people who are concerned with free trade and open market are really hoping that the Pennsylvania legislature gets it together and finds a way to finally privatize the system.
Tom, I wanted to ask, what are we missing out on? I am kind of new to wine appreciation, and so I'm fairly ignorant. I don't live that close to a bordering state. So what are some of those top friendliest states? What do consumers have access to there that we're missing out on that we could potentially achieve if we privatized?
The most wine-friendly states have access to everything. And the examples are California, Nevada, Oregon. These are states where there's no government control of the retail sale of wine. It's not the government who's telling you what wines you can buy. These are states where you can walk into any grocery store and have an excellent array of wines to choose from. These are states where if you can't find what you want locally, you can get on the internet and do a search for that wine from your birth year. You'll find it at another retailer outside of your state. You place the order and it gets shipped to you. You sign for it and you're done. These are states where if you want, you can bring a bottle of wine into a restaurant. You pay a corkage fee, and these are the states where there are no arbitrary bans on the purchase of wine on Sunday. There were about seven states that earned A's in our survey, and they include California, the District of Columbia, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oregon, and Virginia. They do the best. Unfortunately, there were upwards of 15 states that got F's. Some had more egregious problems than others, and some less, but in most cases, it was a matter of them simply preventing consumers from having access to the wines that you want. So I'm wondering, you live in PA, you're not near any of these places, are you? That's a shame.
It's certainly a shame for Pennsylvania wine drinkers.
It is. But hopefully things will get better. I mean, there's a lot of people working on behalf of consumers now and to try to change things in Pennsylvania. And this is probably the best opportunity that Pennsylvania has had in many years to change the archaic laws that consumers live under.
Yeah, we definitely agree, and we really appreciate you offering your perspective on this. Katrina and I and so many of our viewers and readers are wanting to make Pennsylvania one of those A states, not an F state. So
if Pennsylvania passes privatization and if Pennsylvania allows its residents to buy from out-of-state retailers and wineries, it will jump to the top of the list. That's all that's needed.
Well, there it is.
That's right. We're ready to get there. So thanks again for joining us, Tom. That's wineconsumers.org if you want to learn more and get involved. And you can, of course, keep up on the latest with liquor store privatization and other important consumer issues in Pennsylvania at commonwealthfoundation.org and boozefacts.com. So thanks for joining us and have a great day.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.